Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're on this morning with Tom Torp, Senior Vice President in Associated Bank's Capital Markets Group. Tom, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I want to have a conversation this morning about the overall health of the economy and a couple of things that we picked out this morning. But before we get underway, I'd like for you to tell our listeners what you do there at Associated Bank.
Sure, Steve. I help our commercial borrowers and our private clients manage their interest rate exposure and using instruments, hedging instruments like interest rate swaps. So I think that offers a pretty good vantage point because I work with a wide cross section of our clients and also kind of track the markets and cyclical trends in interest rates and the economy.
For our conversation this morning, I want to focus on the outlook for the economy and focus specifically on some signs of inflation and maybe interest rates going up as well. I know we've seen some of those push up a little higher over the last week or so. Give us a thumbnail of what's going on and what we should be watching the closest.
Sure. Well, what's going on in the interest rate markets is that we've seen a pretty steady increase in rates since August, but especially since the beginning of this year. And a big part of that is the expectation that the Fed will allow inflation to run a little bit hot. Historically, inflation has been running below the Fed's 2% target for some time, for well over a decade. And so one of the things that they want to do is to make sure that they can meet that target and even exceed it for a short period of time. And the Fed Chair, Jay Powell, has committed to leaving short-term rates low for well into 2022 and perhaps into 2023 as a way to, keep the economy boosted. The Fed has been keeping rates near zero since the beginning of the pandemic, and they've also been buying $120 billion in Treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities per month to keep long-term rates under wraps to some degree. But we have seen short-term rates staying about where they are, but long-term rates moving up pretty dramatically over the last 5 or 6 months.
I was just going to say the anxiety about all of the inflation numbers and concern over inflation, is it rightly placed?
At this point, it's probably an overreaction a little bit. What we've seen is inflation is running about 1.4%, and the Fed has a 2% target. Even producer prices have only been going up at 1.3%. Now, we have seen a lot of commodities increase in price. We've seen a jump in oil prices. So a lot of the inputs are starting to move up. And I think we'll probably see some very short-term effects over the next couple of months because we're going to be comparing price increases to where we were sort of at the depths of the pandemic. So I think over the next few months, you'll see a little bit of noise. But the markets are anticipating inflation will run a bit hot. And in fact, when you compare inflation-protected securities, inflation-protected treasuries to regular treasuries, what you see is an expectation that inflation will run at about 2.5% for the next while, and that probably overstates where we are, although the trend is probably about right, that we should see some inflationary pressures over the course of this year and into next year if we do get continued stimulus, and if we do get the Fed remaining on hold for the next couple of years.
The inflation picture has been muddied by the pandemic. You've mentioned a couple of parts of that just there, but going forward, we want some of this stuff to come back hot, don't we? We want demand for gasoline to be there. We want demand for lodging and airfare. We want people doing things in the economy again. So it's going to be hard to gauge just exactly what is bad about that, right?
Yeah, and as I say, we'll see a lot of noise over the next couple of months, but we really were at very low levels. Inflation dropped to almost zero a year ago, and we saw a drop in a lot of prices. So what we're seeing actually is sort of pockets of inflation along with pockets of lack of recovery. So things like lumber prices are at record highs because of all the home building going on, and gasoline prices have bounced back, but they've really only bounced back about to where they were a year ago. So, you know, while we've seen a fairly big move up lately, and probably will continue to do so, we're still generally well below where we were, you know, 18 months ago.
The new Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, has said that we need to go big with the stimulus. She thinks that there's not enough money that we can spend right now to get things moving again. But is there concern that this stimulus package might push the heat up on the economy more than we were expecting?
You know, I think there's some potential for that, but I think that the Fed has a lot of tools to be able to prevent that from really getting out of control. And, you know, remember that we're still down in employment, 9.6 million jobs from prior to the pandemic. So while a portion of the economy is doing very well, as you mentioned, things like leisure and hospitality, hotels, travel are all struggling a lot. And in fact, if you look at the unemployment rate, unemployment is 6.3% overall, which is high. It was 3.5% a year ago. But if you break that down, in the leisure and hospitality sector, we have 15% unemployment. And in manufacturing, we have 4.7% unemployment. So you can see that there are a lot of people that will benefit from the fiscal relief that Washington is offering. And if, you know, if we sort of overdo it a little bit, that's always something that can be managed going forward. It's a lot harder to sort of bring everybody up than it is to tamp things down a little bit if from a policy perspective it's needed.
I was interested when the Federal Reserve Chairman was testifying before Congress talking about the future and the Fed's policy specifically about how we're going to gauge a recovery, when we will know things are better. Are there a couple of key points that, at least in your mind, you will know that we've hit that recovery point when you see those things happening?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, I think they're going to spend a lot of time focusing on the job market and diving into the details there. As I mentioned, unemployment is 6.3%, and, you know, we'll want to see that come down. But even beyond that, we want to make sure that, you know, that we're really bringing people back into the labor market. Labor force participation has dropped a lot, especially among certain groups, women in particular, because of the stay-at-home orders and what effect that's having on family job opportunities and, you know, working remotely and remote school. So the participation rate is down about 4 percentage points from where it was. And that's the lowest it's been in 30 years, and especially, as I say, for women. So I think the Fed is going to be watching how those subgroups that have struggled the most here are recovering, because that's really going to tell when we're back to some level of normalcy.
You keep a very close eye on the U.S. Treasury yield curve, and you wrote recently about how the continuing steepening of that is really presents an optimistic outlook of the economy moving forward. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, what normally happens across an economic cycle is when the economy is going into recession, we tend to have a flat yield curve. And that's usually measured by the spread between 10-year treasuries and 2-year treasuries. Right now, that spread flattened out in 2019 and into 2020, and then steepened as the Fed dropped rates. What we've seen is the Fed is promising to keep short-term rates very low. So the 2-year treasury has dropped from about 1.5% a little over a year ago to 13 basis points now, 0.13%. So we're nearly at zero on the 2-year. And what's happened on the 10-year side is that we dropped to a low of about 0.5% in July of 2020. Now we're almost 1.5%. We're at 1.47%. And that really reflects a move by investors out of treasuries and into alternative investments with the expectation that the economy is going to grow. And so that steeper yield curve is a sign that investors are expecting the Fed to start raising rates soon. They are expecting the economy to start to heat up. They're looking at the economic numbers, the jobs numbers, and a lot of elements here are all going in the right direction, although we're not there yet. And that's really driving those longer-term rates up. And as long as that stays within sort of a normal band, then that's a pretty healthy situation to be in.
The bond market always signals a sort of a more longer-term view of how things are going. It's that near-term that we need to be most concerned about, right?
Exactly. And other elements of the bond market can help in evaluating where investors think the economy is going. For example, if you look at credit spreads in the corporate bond market, both for investment grade bonds and for junk bonds, we're at cyclical lows right now. So we're about where we were on those credit spreads, where we were as the economy was very warm back in 2018 and during the prior recovery back in 2014 and 15. So those are other signals that investors are very confident in the credit quality of a lot of corporate bond issuers. There's a strong demand for that kind of credit exposure. So, you know, kind of a good signal that the capital markets are providing funding for growth and, anticipating that.
More and more people are being vaccinated. We had the president this week say that he expects most adults will be able to get a shot by the end of May. Lots of optimism looking forward in the year, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I kind of look at it as, I sort of characterize it as the three R's that are driving interest rates up. First is fiscal relief. You know, if we get a $1.9 trillion package that supports a lot of the people who are out of work and the areas of the economy that have struggled, you know, that will help. Reopening is the second R as the pandemic gets under control and the vaccines, you know, create more herd immunity. And then the third R is reflation as the Fed keeps its foot on the gas pedal while we have fiscal relief and inflation, you know, running at 2% or a little bit more than that, I think would all be signals of a strong economy.
Tom, great conversation this morning. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, I'd be glad to have people do that. They can contact me at my email at thomas.torp@associatedbank.com. The last name is spelled TOERPE at associatedbank.com. Or they can call me at 920-491-7410.
Tom, thank you for being with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure.